This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me today is Jeannie Lester and Tracy. We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester, and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We'd love to hear of a new place that may be opening up, or a new place you've eaten at, or a recipe you'd like to share, or if you just want to chat with us. Again, the number is 866-823-1077. We'd also like to welcome our live audience here to the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester. We're at 814 Elm Street. Come on down. You still have plenty of time to have lunch and eat at Midtown Cafe, and you can come and watch the show. And if you could like us also on Facebook, you can go to Food for Thought with Carol and like us on Facebook. So welcome back to the second hour. And again, another great education with coffee. And yes, so I think that without any further ado, we're going to just welcome back Donna's Delights from Delaware. All right, Donna, take it away.
You're listening to
Donna's Delights.
Hi, this is Donna Earl Johnson, and I believe life is for living and food is for giving. On Donna's Delights, we take it from the fork to the cork. I'll be sharing my recipes, stories, and philosophies. So I hope you bring your appetite, because we're about to do this. King!
The recipe for the week.
Over the moon chicken. I came up with this recipe thanks to a guy who comes into my husband's boxing gym. I would ask him, how was your weekend? And he would respond, I had way too many blue moons. So I was like, what is that? And he told me it was a beer. So I was like, okay, not being a drinker of beer, wines, and spirits, I'm not familiar with what's popping when it comes to bottles. I told him, I'm going to come up with a recipe using Blue Moon beer. And he was like, okay, let me know how it turns out so that he could use this recipe for his weekend cooking when he cooks for his wife when she works on Saturdays. I goes to the liquor store and I asked, do you have any Blue Moon beer? It's only sold in six packs. I was like, what? No Lucy's? Come on. I went to the cooler and I see they cost $9.99 for a pack of beer. I picked up a can of Bud for $1.29, but I said Blue Moon is what I came for, so Blue Moon was what I was gonna get. I went to pay and told the clerk I was gonna cook with it and I only needed one bottle to make it, and he made me feel a little better by saying if the dish comes out right, you can use it for other Blue Moon chickens. I was like, yeah, cool. I get home and see that that beer was going to expire in 4 days. Ain't that some sugar cookie? That's what I get for being a label whore. Yes, I look at labels and expiration dates. I should have peeped that out before I left the store, but I was in a rush to get home to make my chicken. Now what you'll need is 12 ounces of Blue Moon beer, 6 chicken quarters, you'll need 2 tablespoons of Montreal steak season, 1/2 tablespoon of smoked paprika, 1 orange, and 1 red onion. You're going to clean that chicken real good. You're going to get those fat pockets that are left over in those chicken and those chicken guts, and also them chin hairs. That's what I call those feathers. You ever been served some chicken that has feathers still on it? It's like seeing a woman in a bathing suit and its hair coming out. That's just so nasty. So check and clean your chicken first. Put your chicken in a freezer bag and you're going to zest an orange. After you zest your orange, you're going to place that zest in the bag and you're going to pour your beer over your chicken. Let it marinate for 1 hour. Peel and slice your orange, slice your onion, take your chicken out of your marinade, and you're going to season both sides of your chicken with Montreal steak season. Arrange your chickens in a casserole dish. Place your onions and your oranges over your chicken. Sprinkle your paprika all over that, and you're going to seal with foil. Bake for 1 hour in an oven at 375 degrees. I serve my chicken with rice and broccoli, and your family will be howling at the moon.
Food
for healing.
Food for healing. Ghee is for me. Yes, it's a type of butter. I was watching a show on the Health Channel, and a yogi man was talking about the benefits of using ghee. So I was like, yeah, okay. Good type of oil? Let me give this a try. I went to the farmer's market, and I asked them, do you have this ghee? And he directed me to the Indian section of the store. I got me a small jar just in case ghee was not for me, because I've learned everything is not for everybody. I sauteed me some spinach, and I was like, I can work with this. But what I found out is ghee is an excellent moisturizer. Before I apply my makeup, and especially in the wintertime, once I wash my face, I would apply a little ghee and be like, wow, I feel soft and sexy. King, I put some on my hands and feet too. Only crack that I want is the crack in my... Shut your mouth. You can edit that. Hey, even though I smell like I can't believe it's not butter all day, my skin is soft and I feel pretty good. I keep two jars at all times. Yeah, that yogi man was on to something. Namaste. You're listening to Food for Thought with Carol on The Pulse, live streaming at WPTL.com.
I can make that at home. I can make that at home.
My husband and I went to my favorite wholesale food and everything store. This place is known for free food giveaways, aka sample boosts. They be having their chef's coats and hats on, and you'll think that you're in a five-star restaurant. They always are very pleasant. Would you like to try this, or would you like to try that? I always decline, but this day, I was hungry, and that crescent roll filled with chocolate looked and smelled mighty good. I was about to have me a taste until that sample lady took her arm and coughed in it right in front of the crescent rolls. I looked at my husband, and he said to me, that's why I only eat at home. And I turned to him and said, that's why I can make this at home without a half a cup of influenza and one tablespoon of Ebola. That nasty hussy. I didn't even want to take a chance of catching anything. I bought my crescent rolls at another store. You'll need one tube of Grand's Big and Buttery Crescent Rolls. You'll need hazelnut spread and a half a cup of chopped hazelnuts and powdered sugar, which wasn't on hers. But I was like, this is mine, not hacking Annie's. Preheat your oven to 350. Wash your hands real good. You're going to unroll your crescent rolls and separate them. You're going to place one tablespoon of hazelnut spread in the center. Sprinkle your chopped nuts over and roll them up. Place them on a cookie sheet and bake for 8 minutes. Take them out and let them cool. Sprinkle your powdered sugar over them, and I had me germ-free chocolate goodness.
Well, that's all the time I have for now, so join me next week on Donna's Delights. And remember, life is for living and food is for giving.
Well, thank you, Donna. That was quite quite interesting. Nice recipes and all that. Speaking of food, I'm still eating my cherry tomatoes.
Yes. And you are, we are across the room.
Not only are you, we just watching you enjoy them, but we're getting to share in them with you because you're kind of like an expert in aiming the seeds and, you know, it's all in the name of good, healthy eating. Mm-hmm. And you're right. You know, there are some personal trainers that I respect as well. Every personal trainer that I've talked to has said incorporate vegetables in just about every meal. I mean, that really is your key to success. And the other thing that I like that they said was when you're trying to make some healthy moves, don't think about what you're giving up. What you really want to do is focus on adding things in. And as you add things like those vegetables in and other foods that are good at, you know, proteins, lean proteins, you're going to find that you're sort of almost naturally shunning the other stuff because A, you're full, you're feeling satisfied, and you're feeling good. And you don't want to trade that feeling in. And probably you've noticed too, Carol, that as you've been doing such a great job of eating healthy, if you do kind of mess up or if you go away from that for a day or a meal, the feeling that you get is so much more pronounced. You feel really kind of ick. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, okay, why did I do that? I really stepped away and I could have been enjoying tasty food, but that's much healthier.
You are entirely correct. And remember Rocco said that, because like mm-hmm. Rocco says, you know, when you get yourself into that mode mm-hmm. and the way that you feel
yeah.
is is much more than, you know, you feel so much better than, you know, wanting to take that chocolate that's sitting right there.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Very close to us.
Right
yes.
there.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm really not interested in that.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because I feel good.
Yep. You and know? You're filling up on other things that you know are helping to make you feel good.
And I'm watching you and you're constantly snacking on that. And
yes.
you're, so when it's safe to be constantly snacking, you probably feel much more appeased as well. And something that I'm noticing about what you have over there is it's actually beautiful. If I can, I know that
yeah,
sounds
it
funny.
Is. It, the vibrant
colors. The bright
colors.
Red mm-hmm. and the green and then the hummus that you have is like beautiful, like yeah. kind of reddy orange color. It's, and part of eating obviously is a lot more than taste. It's what you see, what you feel. It's the right. whole experience. And every time you pull that little plate up, I'm like, I keep thinking it's so beautiful.
Attractive. Yes.
Yeah.
My cucumbers and cherry tomatoes are beautiful.
They are.
Until you squirt them.
But you know, and the, it, for me to be eating this, like I love Market Basket because they have this certain, it's like after you come around the produce and you start coming, you know, with the chicken on your left and that first big refrigerator case on right on the end, they have all of these packages.
All cut up.
All prepared. And see, for me, you know, someone would probably say, do you know you're paying like a lot mm-hmm. more money for that? But because it's like compact like that, it's already prepared. Mm-hmm. The cucumbers are mostly peeled. I love them like that. You know, it's just convenient for me. I grabbed it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can take that to work.
Right.
It's like perfect.
And
you
if
know,
that's the thing you have to do
exactly.
to be prepared and keep on your plan, then it's definitely worth it.
That's exactly right. So you are listening to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building. We're at 814 Elm Street. I don't know what I was just going to say, 814 downtown or something. 814.
We are downtown.
We are downtown.
Downtown.
We are downtown.
Manchester.
We're at 814 Elm Street. You still have plenty of time to come on down and have lunch over at Midtown Cafe and come and watch the show. So stay tuned. We are going to be back with Chef Patrick Hall. And stay tuned.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Okay, welcome back, Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester. We would also love for you to like us on Facebook. Go to Food for Thought with Carol. And let me see, do we have any other the sponsors?
We want to thank our sponsors for sure. We want to thank New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought. We want to thank Celeste Oliva at 75 South Main Street in Concord. CelesteOliva.com, your source for the freshest premium extra virgin olive oils and balsamic vinegars. And they've added to their line fresh pasta and honey. Also brought to you by Red Arrow Diners in Manchester, Milford, and now open with drive-through in Londonderry. They can be found at redarrowdiner.com online. Belmont Hall and Restaurant at 718 Grove Street in Manchester. BelmontHall.net. Top quality foods made fresh for over 50 years. Integrity Health Coaching Solutions in Bedford and Londonderry. IntegrityFit.com, your coaching solutions company. And Express Jewelry Center at 44 North Main Street in Concord. ExpressJewelryNH.com for precision repair and sales.
Nice.
Yes.
Very nice. And let's just remind people about the Winter Farmers Market. It's in Tilton, the Tilton Winter Farmers Market. It's every Saturday through March 28th, and it's from 10 to 2. They have 50 or more local New Hampshire producers every Saturday. And I believe that we are going to take a trip up this Saturday and go and check it out. So I'll report back next week.
All right.
But yeah, just something, you know, different to do rather than, you know, it's been so snowy and cold and yucky. And
yeah, so it's a good thing to
do.
Get
on out to the farmer's market.
Yeah.
There we go. So without any further ado, let's welcome back Chef Patrick Hall. He is the Culinary Arts Director at Lakes Region Community College. And your campus is at Shaker Village.
At Shaker Village, yeah.
Absolutely. Welcome back to Food for Thought.
Well, thank you for having me back.
Yeah, we're glad.
You know, it's exciting. So, yeah, exactly. So,
and we were chatting earlier because, you know, we're always talking about food and cooking and, you know, and all that. And we were talking about, you know, cooking with herbs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I have no idea, as Tracy, I'm not sure about Jeannie.
I say? Have some. No, I've okay, had
about
some experience with herbs,
and...
but there are, you know, some recipes that will call for a particular herb. And you get this fresh herb and you look at it and you go, huh. Do I just chop all of this? What about the stem? Is the stem supposed to be there? Am I supposed to take the leaves off? I'm sure it depends on the herb. So what we would love is maybe a basic rundown.
It really, it just depends on the herb. And like I said, one of the most beautiful things about being at Shaker Village is the fact that they have endless herb gardens out back, and we're never shy of fresh herbs, and it's one of those things that people always ask me too. What do we use as far as the stems and things like that? And generally, you remove the stems, most of the stems as part of it, and especially like a thyme sprig. What I'll do is I'll take it and I'll turn it upside down and I'll just kind of run my fingers backwards and just take the leaves off of it and then chop those. But then there's certain herbs that I don't find favorable in my food. I love the flavor of rosemary. But like if you put the rosemary leaves inside your food, it almost tastes like eating pine needles, and it's almost the mouthfeel.
It's kind of like a little branch.
Yeah.
Rosemary.
It's a lot tougher. So if you compare the difference between the two, you're not going to want to really put the stems of a rosemary inside your food. But you know, others like thyme, you can remove the stem. It's a little bit tougher. But something like basil, you know, if you get a little stem in there, you're making pesto, it's just going to grind up and it's going to be.
So that's not a big deal.
No, yeah, not generally.
Like cilantro, the same thing.
Cilantro, same thing. Parsley.
I love cilantro.
I do too. Yeah. Cilantro is my favorite.
Me too.
Fresh salsa with cilantro, and it comes out excellent. You know, so it's a matter of preference. You know, and I have students all the time. You know, ask me, they want a whole course on just herbs. What herbs do we use with what?
Right.
In places that I've cooked before, we used a plethora, a mixture of different herbs. We just had a mixture of them, and the majority go well, unless you start tasting something like tarragon has that, you know, that licorice, you know, hint to it. And then, like I said, rosemary has that, you know, so you'll have to, it's about learning about it too. And then some of the best things too, is if you have herb gardens, the best thing you can do is take them. If you have too much of them at the end of the season, dry them out. A lot of people, look past using their own dry herbs. It's almost like dry herbs are fresher, you know, when you do them yourselves. But a lot of people you don't understand. You want to keep them about 6 months. You know, dry herbs. A lot of people buy those bottles of dry herbs.
The dehydrated ones.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, are those good also?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You add water to them and...
And reconstitute them. And, you know, in a lot of rare herbs that you can't find, you'll find dehydrated.
Exactly.
When you dry an herb, what happens is it doubles the power of it.
So
you want to use about half the amount as a fresh herb inside your food. And a lot of people, that's a rule.
So when you're saying dry, you mean like the jar?
The jar, yeah.
Like a jar of parsley, you would use half the amount versus fresh.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, see, I thought it was opposite.
It's almost a quarter of it. You know, so when you have the fresh herbs, you want to use more of it, and then you dry it. It's about a quarter of it, because when you dry it, you're losing the moisture and it concentrates it.
Sure.
And so when you add it to it, a lot of, you know, it also makes it smaller, so you can be able to use a lot more of it too. So, a little rule of thumb.
That is good, because that has come into play more often than not. I'll be going along in a recipe and, oh, darn it, I don't have fresh whatever. Maybe I can just use some dry, and I kind of guess, but I didn't know, you know, you never know whether, should I add more? You know, it's not going to be equal.
Yeah, no, and a lot of times when you're using dry herbs, you can over-season your food, just because people have that misconception that, oh, I can just put as much, you know, basil or whatever in there, and it just kind of overtakes what they're doing. So, and that's, you know, kind of doesn't work out for them. So.
Now, is there like a rule of thumb with like when you are cooking with chicken, any certain herb that you would use, you know, with chicken versus like steak? Or actually, I'm thinking of cooking with steak. Do you use any herbs with steak?
Very little. I would use more dry rubs, more like I would stick to just, you know, salt, pepper, cracked salt with steak, just cracked salt and black pepper, cracked pepper, and garlic is what I usually do.
Okay, you know what? That's another subject. Cracked salt.
Yes. Crystallizes it and it sticks on there. And really, when you're grilling a steak and you put it on there, you want it nice and hot. You want to flip it like about four times. And then you take it off and you let it rest. It's called reposing. And what happens is, you know, all the juices that ran into the middle when it's seared off kind of stretch right back out and kind of makes that even medium. So there's
make
no
it
gray
all consistent
in there.
Through
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Ooh. And then, but that the crystallized salt goes on there. and melts right into the meat beautifully. So a lot of restaurants that we would use rock salt or kosher salt.
So that's the thing. I was just going to ask, as my husband makes that, does it just the way you just said? It's the best steak I've ever had.
Absolutely.
I love it when he makes it. He has the patience for what you said, the flipping in the hot cast iron pan and into the oven. And he does so much with it. He has that patience for it, like we were talking about earlier, that we don't have for cooking. But he uses kosher salt. So is that the same thing?
Kosher salt, because of its purity. Mm-hmm. And it's it's kosher because it's the highest quality. You get iodized salt. Obviously, there's iodine in iodized salt, and it's it doesn't taste the same, but it's the purity and it's the quality of salt that you're using. Mm-hmm. And like I said, a lot of people, the trick is to cooking steaks is flip it minimally. A lot of people get in there, want to flip it up. I'm like, leave it alone. It didn't do anything to you.
like burgers at the diner. Leave it alone.
Exactly. Same
you don't.
Thing. Don't press on it and stomp it. Yeah.
You used to put the weight on it.
Oh, yeah.
We don't do that anymore. Yeah. It's like, leave it alone.
Nice and
it comes out nice and
perfect, right?
Looks like it's handmade because it is handmade and it just, it's not mushed.
Yeah. Yeah. And it always, usually comes out. My rule of thumb with herbs, though, is I use thyme in everything. Everything.
Now, see, okay. That's what I'd like to know. Yeah. So, thyme.
That's my go-to spice, as far as herbs go. Fresh thyme. If you have to, I would always use fresh unless, I didn't have
it. It's not available
But they make dried herbs for a reason, Sure. And obviously you can dry your own herbs. Like I said, it's the best way to do it. But,
Now when you're saying dried herbs, mm-hmm. are you saying the jar?
The jar, yeah. The jar. Then there's two types that you're talking about. Freeze-dried.
Okay.
And you're using, a freeze-dried.
Freeze-dried is better than the jar.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and that would be instant. But the jarred ones, but you can also dry your own. And sometimes if we have herbs that are left over and we don't want them to go to waste, I'll take them out of the refrigerator, spread them all out in a sheet pan, and just let them sit there, and they dry. And they get all, and you can use
crinkly.
Them. Yeah.
It's just that easy. Yeah. Just let them.
Yeah. Out. If you have herb garden, you don't want to let it go to waste. Dry them. Same thing with chilies. You can make your own, your cayenne spice, dry them out, pulverize them. And then you have your own, your cayenne and you have your own just different chili pepper spice.
See, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about a few weeks ago, how we, are a few generations probably don't even realize how simple it is to do some of these things because of the fast food and all the things that we've gotten used to and getting away from the farming. And we were just talking about this. And when I hear about how simple it is to do something like that, like if I have fresh herbs in my refrigerator, they always go bad.
Mine
and I
too.
Throw them in the trash can. Yeah.
Same thing, mine
because
too.
I didn't know it was that
and
easy.
And it's as simple as, even if you didn't have a sheet pan, just hang it upside down somewhere with a little string. And let it dry. As long as that air gets to it, then you won't waste it if you know it's not going to get there. So it's very simple, very easy to do. Just like drying flowers or anything mm-hmm. else like that.
Right.
And then it was kind of like we talked about last week about cheese making. A lot of people don't realize how easy cheese making. I remember you said you had a class on mm-hmm. cheese making, and it's very easy. It's just time consuming. People get there, and it's kind of like watching grass grow. You let it sit there, but it's pretty easy. But it's an art too in the same sense. So.
But I'd like, too, that you addressed, I think Carol and I probably were thinking the same question, that universal, what's the go-to if you're going to go for just a basic, here's the basics of herbs. So you said your go-to is thyme.
Yeah, it's thyme for herbs. Yeah, thyme. And if you're making like a basic tomato sauce, I try to keep it simple. Like a pomodoro sauce is to me is taking
a
pomodoro sauce and it's a tomato sauce that's kind of you see it inside of those little cartons sometimes where you find the tomatoes and everything in the cans.
Is that a different kind of tomato?
It's just kind of like fresh tomatoes that have been. You see crushed tomatoes in the cans and they come out and they're really thick,
mm-hmm.
Or you see puree and it's pureed, it's very thick. The pomodoro is almost very juicy. It's almost taking like a fresh tomato, taking the seeds out of them, taking the skin off of them, blasting it till it's nice and fresh. And that's like and you make a simple sauce out of salt, pepper, garlic, just a little bit of basil, done. Easy, very simple.
I love that.
Sometimes
how to make a sauce.
Very similar. And if you're making like a marinara sauce, mm-hmm. Like I said, I always try to stick to using fresh herbs, oregano, basil, and thyme.
With the pomodoro.
Yeah, with any like marinara sauce. If you want to, kind of use like more of a marinara sauce, more like a chunky tomato sauce, and simmer that with garlic and salt and pepper. But very basic, very simple. you know, a lot of people try to overkill.
Oh, that's what I'm wondering. Yeah. Can you over, like, do people get a little too carried away and then kind of kill it because you're trying to incorporate too many spices you think that's going to be, or too many herbs, too many flavors you think that's going to be better?
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're saying keep it kind of simple.
Keep it simple. And one of the things, you know, I teach students all the time, I'm like, just little bits at a time. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about last week, you know, the best thing that I love about cooking is that, you know, it's not perfect measurements. It's not baking. It's not, you know, it's not a science, right. You know, so add a little bit of basil in there and taste it. You're like, oh, I bet you a little bit more would be better. You know, little bits you can never take out, but you can always add too, right. You know, right. So, and that's always a good rule.
I know. See, I tend to put too much.
Yeah.
And then I can't take out.
Yes. That's, and then you just gotta add more tomato or whatever, you know, so.
And for me, that's garlic.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. I use a ton
more,
of garlic.
More.
See, that's the thing for me is that I think you can always use plenty of garlic. I love garlic.
Oh, no, so. But if it calls for 2 cloves, I use probably 12.
Yep. I'm the same way.
I'm not even kidding.
Yeah. And the best thing with garlic to me is if you simmer it out, if you're remaking a sauce and you simmer it out, that garlic mellows out really nice. Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, roasted garlic.
When you
roast
garlic with that top off and you pop it out.
Oh, eat it by itself.
Do you ever have that?
I haven't. I've heard people, because remember there was this whole craze and you could buy the garlic roasters and people would do that. Yep. And I've not actually ever tasted that, but people say it's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh. Perfect. You don't even need a garlic roaster to do that,
just
right?
Just do it.
You just
right?
spread it like it's butter on bread.
But you just slice the top off.
Yeah.
Right? Put it on your cookie sheet.
Absolutely.
A little olive oil and bacon and ham.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You can do that. Or I just wrap it in
tinfoil. Oh, yeah, wrap it in tinfoil. Mm-hmm. That's right. Because you don't want to. Yeah.
And you can do caramelized onions that way, too, and all sorts of stuff. So
that's my new favorite thing, by the way.
Is that
caramelized onions.
Oh, yes.
Which is kind of funny because neither my husband or I have ever liked onions. The one thing that was not in our house, if you can believe that, I'm sure a chef is probably like, oh, no onions in
it's
the house.
It's a staple.
Right.
It is a staple.
And we are learning to enjoy them. And we just, you know, I love YouTube. That's what has made our house have better food in it. And we learn how to caramelize onions. That's actually what we're having tonight is on a pizza.
Yeah. I love technology, especially, you know, in cooking nowadays. Everybody's got an iPhone. And, you know, students are like, oh, well, you know what recipe can we do that? You know, and so I actually make that part of our homework. We have a system called Blackboard. And they have to go on YouTube and they have to look up a video of the dish that they're going to do for the following week. Because different people make different dishes in different ways. Yeah. So that's their homework. So they got to go on there, and then they have to write a paragraph on that and respond to two other students writing paragraphs. So I think technology, you know, brings a lot of that.
Yeah. I think it's great that you incorporate
definitely
that.
Does.
Yeah,
definitely
yeah.
does.
So, you know, I was telling myself, you know what we used to have to do back in when I was in college? Actually, we had to go to a book and open the book. You know?
Go to the library and get the book.
I say that to my children all the time. You're so
it's
lucky.
True.
You
know what we used to have to do? Card catalog thing that you had to pull
out.
Big
cart,
thumb through it. Yeah,
oh,
you know,
man.
So. Nowadays, you just go right online, and there it is.
You know what else you have to do? And we've talked about this a little bit, is you would have to call up your family member, your mother, your grandmother, or your aunt, or whoever it was that made that recipe, or please tell me how to make that again, and what do I do? And you'd have to sit there with them on the phone.
How many cards that you have?
Yes, it passes down and they're ripped.
I have tons of those. My grandfather was a chef before I was, and he'd write out certain things. I think you'd always leave one ingredient out. This is mine. It's going to stay mine forever, you know, type of thing.
You don't need those cards anymore either because you have the technology.
That's it.
You know, I mean, I look at my cabinet now and it's like I've been starting to get rid of all those things because you just don't need it. When I want to cook something, you just punch it in.
Yeah.
It pops right up.
There's great apps nowadays and all sorts of stuff and so technology's, you know, come great, and then you can experience a whole number of chef's cuisine rather than you know, just one or two or finding one book on one particular person. So yeah. So
all right. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, and we are in studio with Chef Patrick Hall. He's the Culinary Arts Director of Lakes Region Community College at Shaker Village. And we are going to go on a short break, and when we come back, we actually have somebody on the line that wants to ask you a question.
Perfect.
All right. So hold on, caller. I know who you are, so I know you'll hold on. So we'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building in 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. We are in studio with Chef Patrick Hall. He's the Culinary Arts Director of Lakes Region Community College at Shaker Village. And we're asking him all of our cooking questions and herb questions and all that. And June is on the line and has a question for you. Hi, June.
Hi, how are you all?
Good.
Good.
Chef Peter, I came across...
No, Chef Patrick. Patrick.
Patrick, I'm sorry. Sorry. Sumac. Now, what kind of a spice is it, and what kind of a flavor does it have to it, and what would you usually use it for?
Sumac?
Sumac.
Hmm. That's a stumper on, you know, on my end. You know, I'd have to take a look at it and kind of sample it and feel it and taste it. It's not, I can tell you something, it's not much something that I use quite often.
Where did you see that, June?
I was looking for, I'm always looking for new recipes, and yeah. I was in a cookbook. I'll have to try to find it again and bring it in Monday, but I believe I was looking for a recipe for chicken, and it was either chicken or a soup, and it asked for sumac.
Sumac,
I was kind of afraid to use it or even look for it.
A lot of times in some of the older recipes, you'll see a name for an herb, and it was an older name for an herb. Maybe that might be it, sumac, generally.
Because it was a new cookbook. It was a brand new.
Yeah, I haven't worked too much with sumac.
You've never used it at all?
Sounds like a savory. If it's with chicken, it would definitely be savory.
How do you spell it, June?
Well, it's hard for
Pardon
it,
me?
S-U-M-A-C?
I believe so, yes. I believe so.
Interesting.
Well, I guess that's one we'll have to look up, and maybe I'll have to study for it on Monday.
Let me know how that works. I wish I would say I know everything about cooking, but, you know, I'm always learning.
Well, I'm sorry I stumped you.
That's okay. Let me know.
June. All right.
Okay, I'll do my homework. Thank you.
Bye-bye. There you go. Yeah, never heard of, you know, like I said, I've never, but there's so many different herbs out there. It's unbelievable to say that, you know, one knows everything, you know, and something like sumac, it sounds off. I'll have to look it up and try it, you know.
But I think that's the beautiful thing about cooking is that you're constantly learning and trying new things. You can't know it all. And I think that's why we always have things to talk about.
That was the only herb I don't know and I didn't know about. So, you know, no, I'm just kidding. No.
Leave it to June to stump you.
No, it's you know, like I said, and that is the greatest thing about cooking is that you're always learning, you know, all the time. And you find new discoveries and things that are coming out and new trends, but at the same time you find old ones that come back all the time. And that's what I love about it. So
speaking of learning, and I apologize if you guys have discussed this with Chef Patrick before. What is the age range or demographic of the people that take classes with you? You know, is it all just fresh out of high school, or they're adults? Or
the majority, student base is probably around the age of 20 to 26. A lot of them are straight out of high school. I mean, I wouldn't say 20. I would say from 18 to about 26. But we have every student from, 17 to 70. You know, the best thing about community college is that you can come out and you can take one class if you want to and see if you like it. You don't necessarily have to have graduated from a high school right off the bat to just experience one class. And, you know, if you want to join and go for the degree portion of it, then you'd have to be graduated and carry around.
So, like, I can take a class.
Absolutely. Yeah, and like I said, we have students that are 17. We have a student that's 70. And he's just in there taking classes and he loves it. And it adds such a great dynamic to the class. And going back to talking about experiences and things, it brings such a different dynamic to the class that they're like, well, back when I was a kid, I had, you know, this and this. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's great to have those people in class. So
yeah, it's great. Like, it's never you're never too old to learn.
No, not at all. Absolutely.
So I love that.
It's good to...
So Chef Patrick, what now? Your campus is out of Shaker Village. So let's talk about that a little bit. And let's because your students, they actually. you know, they cook and they serve to the public.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that.
We run and operate a restaurant that's called the Shaker Table, and it's a beautiful restaurant. It's three floors. It's all Shaker design, award winning Shaker design on the inside. Of course, it's got the beautiful Shaker landscape of 500 acres. When we moved here a little while ago, we were at the Belmont Mill in Belmont. We had a small little restaurant. We had to move from there. Funi Burdick had come and said, "Hey, can you come take a look at this restaurant?" And I said, "Yeah, sure. We'll see. Maybe you want to hold your program out of there." 10 minutes down the road, and we go there, and it's this huge building. And I'm like, "She's like, you think you can do this?" I'm like, "Yeah, absolutely." So it's been a great fit. The whole Shaker Village has made our students all, part of the membership there, and you know, they have the whole 500 acres of Shaker to our program as well as everybody else. But it's a perfect fit. I mean, there's herb gardens there, there's apple trees there, there's all sorts of, grapes and different things that are, berries. We have I picked gooseberries last year, which is a very rare variety of berry. So it's great. It's a great place to be. So we run and operate a restaurant 3 days a week, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. And we normally do lunch from 11:30 till 1. And then we also have Thursday evenings this semester, which we serve from 6:30 till 8.
And all of those times are on the website?
Yep, it should be on Lakes Region, lrcc.edu, is our website.
LRCC.edu.
Yep.
LRCC.edu.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So, and we post our menus, and we'll do so take this semester, for instance, our Tuesday class is our American regional class. So we just did Louisiana, we're doing India, and then our Friday class is our Thursday class is India. And then, our Friday class is Italian. So,
and you post the menus on the website. So, you know what you're going to, what you have before you go in.
Or you can always call, and we can, sometimes we change it up a little bit, or depending on, it's still school. So, we try to, get as diverse as possible.
And again, it's Tuesday, Thursday, Fridays.
Yep. And a full course dinner, super salad, entree, dessert for a total of $9. So it's
you can't beat that.
Yeah, it's tough, So it's we do it so that students come in, they get the experience of actually waiting on real customers and being able to plate up plates and experience cooking, cooking the different dishes. And then our desserts are our homemade desserts from our pastry classes. We have everything from cake decorating to right now our hot and cold plate desserts class is going on. My wife teaches that, and so does our other pastry instructor too.
Imagine eating at their house.
I know.
Actually, we have small kids, so it's like, here's chicken fingers.
Pigs in a blanket.
We eat everything they don't want to eat. So, it's we do a good job, So it's quite. I love doing it. Like I said, it's definitely I found my favorite job to do ever. So it's
good for you. And you can definitely tell that you love what you do.
I mean,
it just exudes off of you.
There's a big difference between, like I said, before I started here, I owned my own restaurant, with my wife.
Crazy.
We started having children and we're like, well, this isn't really a good, we got into teaching. So it's been perfect.
It works.
Beautiful.
Now, is the baking section out of Shaker Village also?
Absolutely.
All the food, all the culinary at Shaker Village.
Yep, Shaker Village. And, we'll have some of our baking classes aren't open to the public, like our restaurant classes. On any given day, we have advanced cake decorating class. We have pulled sugar class. We have chocolate class.
Sign me up for that class.
Oh, yeah. They just made chocolate boxes. And I'm like, I'm like the kid from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory going through there. Goes to slow down. With the chocolate. So it's good.
Now, with like your culinary classes, give me like a little rundown of the different kinds of classes that like I could go and do.
Anything. Like we have a basic, you know, culinary fundamentals class. So a lot of people will start off, and that's our beginning culinary fundamentals. Like, here's an oven. Here's how you turn on the oven. Here's a knife. Here's how you hold the knife. And here's how you sharpen it. We do knife cuts and the different sauces. So you have like different, like five mother sauces that you're going to learn. And then you have derivatives from those five mother sauces that you're going to do. And then you start learning about, you know, poultry cooking or beef and breakfast cookery and all sorts of stuff. So,
and it sounds like it's all hands on.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Our classes and it's different from like any normal, and I tell a lot of the high schools this. I said, you know, your courses at the high school are about 90 minutes. I said, when you get to us, we actually operate a program, so it simulates a restaurant. Well, it is a real restaurant because we're serving to the public, but we open and close a restaurant, so it's 7 hours long. So, and a lot of people will come in there.
So that's
though.
A class.
Oh yeah, that's the whole 7 hour class. So they come in at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we'll leave in 3 p.m. Or vice versa, they'll come in at 3:30 and then go till 9:45 at night. And here's another thing too. You know, it's open to the public. Anybody can come and join a class, but we're training people to try to become
exactly,
professionals.
Exactly, to chefs, become professionals.
You know, so you get the opposite effect too. You get people in there like, I just want to take a home ec class, and now they're on their feet for 8 hours and working the line,
okay.
and they're like, oh, this is different. You know, so it gives you the real approach, and we try to head it up and tell students, you know, hey, listen, this is how the industry is. It's nights, it's weekends, it's holidays. Mm-hmm. I never had a Thanksgiving off for years until I became a teacher. So it's one of those.
So things. If I came into one of the classes, would I automatically go into management?
Hopefully.
Well, thank you very much, Chef Patrick
thank
Hall,
you.
Culinary Arts Director of Lakes Region Community College at Shaker Village. You can check them out on the web at lrcc.edu.
Yep.
And you can check out their hours of serving for the public and all that, and another educational experience. And stay tuned. Kale and Company is up. Today is his 501th one show. So, all right. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Bye.